This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Josh Schmidt on the Wheels of Steel. Oh,
wait,
I'm
what?
Excited.
Wait,
I'm excited.
Wait, what's happening?
Oh, nothing. Just Freebird. That's it. United States and Canada.
This
nation's final. 8 o'clock tonight, ESPN. If you would have told me Thursday of last week, Zach, you're going to be jazzed for the final of the Four Nations, I'd have been like, who are you talking about? What do you mean? We got mid-major basketball on right now.
Is this mid-major basketball?
I'm not going to be excited.
On.
Nope.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I cannot wait for this game.
Even people like me and Josh who are like hockey stands, I don't think any of us saw the Four Nations tournament getting to the kind of fervor that it has reached for the final like today. And I heard the eagle.
I was just saying, did you hear the eagle?
Yeah.
All right.
That song has been on repeat in my car every morning since I've been driving in here during this Four Nations
Freebird
final.
Is a really good remix song. I love the original, of course, obviously. Very good remix.
I think the goal song, they picked the perfect snippet
It's that snippet right there,
actually. No, I know. Yeah.
It's
like,
so
that's
good.
The thing is that they did the right thing figuring out, okay, what's going to slap?
It wasn't even these guys, too. It was the U18 team that found it.
Yeah, of course it was.
And then they started it in the IIHF. And, you know,
during the World Junior Tournament, it was playing, yes.
Yeah. But, great time.
Yeah, like you're right. Like the fervor that has built for this game now over a relatively very short amount of time.
Within a week.
Yeah, is incredible. It's been great for hockey. It's helped that basketball has kind of fumbled any sort of...
Another All-Star game.
Yeah. Any sort of goodwill they had post the Luka Doncic trade. And the NHL also, and we'll get to kind of the topic of the day, though, but I think if you're hockey as a whole, you're pretty pumped it's not USA-Sweden.
Yes.
You're pumped it's USA-Canada, that we get another batch of this. We get another round of this.
Which we came frighteningly close to that not happening.
It was really cool, though, for a minute.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool.
I was happy for Finland that they were putting a scare into it, and like all of a sudden it's 4-3 and with like, what was it, like 30 seconds left?
Yeah, they scored a lot.
They scored
quickly.
Two goals with empty nets to make it 4-3, and we're like, oh!
Like, oh no, oh no.
This is going to be fascinating.
And of course, I mean, Sweden would have then had to beat the United States, which they ultimately ended up doing. And I think if there was a chance that, you know, United States goes into that going, hey, if Sweden wins, we get to play them again.
Matter of fact,
I think there would have been a lot of, let them beat us.
Good for Finland also for making that a game, because now there's only one blowout on the entire docket of the Four Nations tournament, and that was U.S.-Finland.
And even then, that took four goals in the third period.
Yes.
You got two periods of a good game, or at least a close game.
Which, again, brings me back to this was, whatever your favorite appetizer out there is, it was that.
Mm-hmm.
And the main course for everyone is going to be best on best international play at the Olympics next year. What a table to set.
It's so good. You're right. It's the perfect appetizer. It's the mozzarella sticks. It's the spinach artichoke dip. It's the French onion soup.
It's the buffalo wing dip.
Yeah. Like you you were kind of excited for it. And in part, the person you went to dinner with, you were kind of sitting there going, do you want to just order two or three of these and have this be our meal? Like, that's kind of what this has become.
This has kind of been what it is.
Which is awesome.
Which, oddly enough, that's what it is. Saturday, you ordered the appetizer.
Mm-hmm.
It tasted so good that you get it again.
I think what's great, too,
and that's tonight.
And what's great is, yes, the United States did win on Saturday. But you go to FanDuel Sportsbook. I know the morning guys, they were doing their three-leg parlay. It's minus 110 for both teams. There is not a clear-cut favorite. It's a pick'em game. And so on that point, kind of our main topic of the day, and we're going to be jumping through this kind of the rest of the way here. You know, we're going to leave football a little bit to the side. We might jump into it a little bit, but we're going to leave it a little bit to the side here, is we talked with this with the Super Bowl and kind of, because I know there was a lot of rumblings of it's rigged for the Chiefs, the refs want them to win, or the league wants them to win, what have you. And so I kind of want to have a little bit of fun with that, because I don't think it's right. Obviously, you saw the Eagles blow them out, and it did actually lead to a lot of ratings bumps when the Chiefs were getting blown out. But if you're the NHL, you're Gary Bettman, you're the management brass watching this overhead, running the league. Number one, I think you got your matchup that you wanted, especially after Saturday where you saw the ratings bump. It was your best non-Stanley Cup final since 2019. You got that bump. That's fantastic.
You got the help to grow a little bit of the game, a wider audience. There was a little bit of like a, holy, wait, they did what in the first nine seconds?
Then you got, on that weekend, a bad NBA product, bad All-Star game that left you as kind of the only beacon of light in a relatively light sports calendar now.
I just heard that the NBA All-Star break went to another commercial.
You even got the NFL... essentially doing nothing. The tag window opened up earlier this week. Nothing has happened. The NFL, outside of it being the NFL, has essentially been dormant.
This was something that I talked about with Paul Hamilton on Sports Talk Saturday last week. And I had said to Paul, we have to credit the NHL for putting this together at the perfect time.
Mm-hmm.
The Super Bowl is over. And it's not like it just ended. It was a week after. It was pretty clean off. And then you start this tournament. And the NBA is off. Perfect.
Yep.
You go ahead and you bring this tournament here. And that was before U.S.-Canada happened that evening.
Yep. I mean, that's because we were already feeling good about this before the marquee game, because it was like, oh, the anthems are bumping. And I remember Paul and Bulldog talking about this too, is I don't know how much energy is going to be there. Like, how will these guys treat it? There was sort of that feeling of dipping your toe into the water, feeling out the temperature. Like, and I think there was more fans, obviously, than the players, where the players were, no, let's go. This is an international tournament, best on best. Let's get after it. And now, here we are, the last bit, and kind of the topic of the day, 803-0550, not asking you if you're an American or Canadian who you want to win. I think it's usually pretty obvious who you
want
to win.
We're going to get a very overwhelming answer of which one on that.
It's more, if you're the NHL, if you're Gary Bettman, what is the best result tonight for the game?
Yeah, just to think critically on it. What is the best result for the game of hockey?
Mm-hmm.
What arc am I taking a year later into the Olympics? What makes the most sense to get the bums in the seats, the people in front of the TV, for Milan 2026.
Also, real quick, great location for the Winter Olympics.
Yes.
It's basically Switzerland.
I hate you.
That's an inside
I was kind
joke.
Of scared that you were going to say it because we.
It's an inside joke. Totally fine. I had to hit that.
We talked about this off the air yesterday.
But
he said it, and I'm like, no.
And you've mentioned, though, you've got this marinating period, too, where there is going to be a little bit between the next games you'll see between Canada and the United States, and it will be best on best again. The United States gets the first win. Ultimately, it is just a preliminary match. Yes, it plays to the points. It gets it to the final. But it ultimately doesn't mean, quote unquote, all of a lot. Tonight, though, does the NHL want the United States to win or the Canadians to win? Now, you might have the argument, well, the NHL's, you know, predominantly run by Canadians. They'll want Canada to win. But does that mean that it is the best for the game of hockey itself and the growth of the game? Again, they had 4.4 million people, and I think it topped out at 5.1 on Saturday. What's it going to be tonight with a bunch of, you know, regular season NBA games? I've mentioned it, mid-major basketball, and you, especially with all the hype around it.
And that is an interesting question. The beautiful part about this is I'm not sure which one is better, because you can tell a story with either outcome.
100%.
If it's Canada that wins, you get the U.S. showing their stuff and then losing in the game that mattered the most, a la 2010. That's a bad taste in your mouth, and you got to marinate on that for a year. Meanwhile, if the U.S. goes 2-0 in a tournament best on best for the first time in 9 years, that's a nasty taste for Canada to have to carry for an entire year.
And I think you add on that to Cup drought. And then now maybe the United States is overtaking you in international
hockey. I'll plop on another layer. World Juniors, the United States has been more consistent and effective.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not this accident. The World Juniors are not dominated by Canada like they used to be.
Yep.
So there's your extra layer. That's, oh God, they really have caught up. And the only time that we get away with it is the World Championships, when it's not best-on-best competition.
And now it is.
Now it is again.
And that first game, the United States wins. Now, it was a difference between one blowout. It was not that game.
And there's a difference between 1-1 and 2-0.
Mm-hmm. There's a big, big difference, I think, in the vibes that go around it and everything. Now, I will say this.
You just get a nasty taste in your mouth.
I will say this, and everyone knows it, and why we're talking about this, is the Canadian market will absolutely talk about a loss more than I think the United States market will, right? I think that's probably fair to admit, that I think for the Canadians to go 0-2 in this tournament to the U.S. will be talked about a little bit more. It is their national sport, I think. I'm almost positive hockey's their national sport.
It's lacrosse.
It is lacrosse. Thank you. All right. So it's close to their national sport, but it is not their national sport. But it is the big moneymaker, right? I mean, the NHL's kind of always considered...
It's the identity that you bring with when someone mentions Canada.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. It's that... And what else? I mean, bag milk?
Nice people.
That's fair.
Maple syrup.
I was going to say, be nice. Bagged milk is the first thing you come up with?
Yeah, because it's weird.
Yeah, no, that is pretty weird.
I'm not saying it's not. That shouldn't be the second thing you say about Canada.
Toronto's lovely.
Even if you want to do it in a make fun sense, like moose.
The Mounties.
Yes.
Get out of my head. I was about to say that.
Yeah, you were.
You go to the bagged milk, really?
Yeah, it will never leave my head. When I found that out, it disturbed me. I'm just going to flat out put it out there. I don't care if everyone's saying it's normal.
What's the benefit of it? That's my question. Like, why is it a thing?
Storage.
Yeah, it makes sense. I just don't like
it. It's so much easier to pop. Like, think about like a gallon
of
milk.
Don't carry knives around your milk.
No, even if you just...
That's kind of similar to like gallons with us here.
No, but even if you just transport them, I mean, water balloons, when they bump into each other, pop all the times. When a big bag of milk falls on another big bag of milk...
I'm guessing, and if any Canadian listeners want to help me out here with these two, please do. I'm guessing that the material is not just like it's thin as a water balloon.
Sure, but
be sensible.
There's got to be some sort of.
They're not as cheap as we are here.
Every piece, everything has a breaking point.
Like, including me.
I mean, I have dropped gallons of milk before. I don't want to make it sound like it's plural. I have dropped like a gallon of milk before.
Come on, you
it
guys.
It goes everywhere.
Have some culture.
Have some culture. But so,
is part of it because I'm slightly fascinated and I kind of want to buy a bag of milk just to upset the two of you?
No, don't get me wrong. Like, the next time I go to Canada, that is something I do want to do. Purely for the science of it, like, which do I actually prefer, gallons or bag milk? Don't get me wrong.
Now, here's the other beautiful thing about, like, this rivalry with U.S. and Canada. And I want this energy to make sure that it stays. And I want it to make sure it comes back. When I went to the World Junior game that was out at the Bills Stadium, I had the best time with all parties involved.
Mm-hmm.
I would then pay for it by being ridiculed on the internet and chased down a hall by Howard Simon. But I bought that Bills themed Team USA jersey of Austin Matthews.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mind you, Matthews had yet to play for Team USA.
Oh.
That's where I'm evil. That said, Canadian fans were loving it because I have a Toronto Maple Leaf on the back of the sweater.
Mm-hmm.
USA fans and Buffalo fans were loving it because I have a USA Bills themed jersey. That day was a vibe. I was everyone's favorite person, apparently, because I was loved by Canadians because it was Austin Matthews. They're like, actually, never mind. You're cool. Actually, you know what? Good thing I didn't run into any French Canadians, because that would just be like double middle fingers.
Yeah.
You know, because like Montreal, and also you're wearing USA. Boo twice to you. But anyone else, it was a great time. Total vibe.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most fun things I've ever been to. And I highly suggest trying to get to at least an international game between those two teams in any measure of the sport, be it World Juniors or on the grandest of stages. If you can save enough money to go to the Olympics, for example.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a cheap ticket.
Be a nice trip to Italy, though.
Nice trip to Italy. Hey, did you know Sal's going?
I was going to say, it's a little early to join Sal and then also go to the Olympics.
Just got to stay there. Bunker in.
I was thinking, like, I was like, oh, man, two trips to Italy. I mean, all right, it wouldn't be bad, but, yeah, bunker in. All right.
I mean, it'd be nice if you had that kind of money.
Just pull Jersey Shore, like, what, season 4? Just get, like a summer house.
I'm not even going to know what that means.
Oh, come on.
I know about the culture of bagged milk, but you can't ask me about Jersey Shore. I don't know nothing.
It's not great, but all right.
It's not great, yeah.
Oh, it's disappointing.
So maybe bagged milk is. I have standards.
But you're right on this rivalry. Like, it is there's a healthy bit of respect and distaste between both teams. And I think that was shown, obviously, on Saturday with how that went. And I think that's the added bonus. And I've talked about it a lot with sports about just rivalries are what get me a lot of times to the television. Does it have to be the city rivalries? No, it could be a created one. Cleveland and Golden State in basketball for a few years was a lot of fun. And it got me to the NBA. You know, you look now at the NFL. What gets people to televisions that aren't in Buffalo and Kansas City? Buffalo versus Kansas City. You know, like those.
I was just going to bring it up. And
those are the games that get people there, and international rivalries kind of put it on an extra tilt. If you look at soccer, the big one is Argentina Brazil, but for a lot of time it was Europe versus Germany. You know, in these World Cup games, it was just everyone versus Germany. It didn't matter, and it was a blast, and it was a lot of intensity and fun. Sometimes there's more political reasons to it. I know many of us are dealing with it now.
Yes.
That is very natural with international rivalries. That is not something new to the 21st
century. I do hate the current landscape of it, but at the same time, there's not much I can do about it.
No.
I'm hoping to enjoy it the best that I can with anyone. And that's the big deal, is that it is a hockey game. We got to make sure that we stay on the stay in those lanes. By the way, if you're on social media tonight, just stay. I don't have to lecture people listening to this station about this more or less. But if you're on social media tonight, just stay in the lane. It's a hockey game.
Yeah,
keep it to the rivalry.
Keep it to the rivalry. Keep it to the
keep
hockey
it to
game.
The rivalry.
And which is what I want. I think where I'm at, because it has not reached.
Don't take this fun away from me.
No, but I will say it has not reached the fervor for me of an Olympics, where I don't care the sport, who's the American? I need to see it, and it always reaches that for me for, you know, the Olympics, the World Cup. This hasn't reached it there yet. And partially to what I brought up
for last week, which was, you know, when US-Canada played, I didn't totally watch it live. I was able to watch the first period, and that was about it. But it got me there. I'm more interested now in the idea of what's this game going to mean for the sport of hockey. I am a hockey fan over an NBA fan, and to a certain point, I've gotten there over baseball because, well, I have a local team, and I have a local rooting interest in the sport of hockey, even though the Sabres seem to avoid ever being like a mainstay in the NHL in my lifetime. But I want to see the sport grow and get bigger. I look at stuff like the NFL cap space, which seemingly doesn't matter the year. It's going to go up, and it might even go up by $20 million and make teams like the Eagles, who look like, guys, you're going to have tough struggles here in the next 2 years, all of a sudden go, nah, probably not actually. Bills, work a few moves, you'll be fine. You know, I want that to get to where, you know, for the NHL, not to that extreme, I get it. But to a point where we're not talking about how poor the ratings are, or the fact that they're never on ESPN, or no one knows the league. Because I believe, truly, the NHL has missed the TikTok, Instagram...
A lot of this.
...run, because they have the perfect highlight set to grab hold of a young audience that the NBA has. Do you have the shoe deals? No. Do you necessarily have a lot of the personalities? No. I think a lot of hockey players can tend to be very dry. But the highlights that you can put on those
electric.
They're amazing. And it has always surprised me that you don't get more of it because of those. And I think that's where the NHL has missed. I'd love for them to grab hold of it like they are now with this Four Nations. And yeah, a lot of the times internationally, it can do it for you. It really can.
Yes.
Coming from an Olympic sport myself, swimming, the kids that started swimming always went up in an Olympic year. Mm-hmm. Always. I guarantee if you came from a gymnastics family, you'd say the same thing.
Yes.
It goes
it's
up
a motivational thing.
Yep.
Watching them play.
And it's the same with soccer. Soccer signups for little kids goes up in a World Cup year. International play will get you there.
Yes.
Regardless of the country.
It's a highlight.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. It's a highlight. And this is where it will be. And today, the highlight is on hockey. Something that the NHL needs to be able to take advantage of when this is done. Their work is not over. You don't just get to sit there and go, I did it. No, you have to continue to build on how you grow the game. Mm-hmm. Like, what was the prevailing thought of a lot of Buffalo fans after watching Saturday? How do I go back to watching the Sabres?
I mean, I looked at what Sneaky Joe said a few days ago, where like you're kind of not looking forward to Saturday because you're like, it's no longer best on best, and I'm a Sabres fan, or I'm a San Jose fan, and you're like, awesome. I get to go watch this team that has more or less infuriated me the entire year.
Yeah.
A Nashville fan.
Ooh. A Nashville fan, like, yeah, because you're used to this recent success.
And had a really
San
fun
Jose,
off-season.
You at least knew there was like yeah, there's going to be a couple of years of this. But they also had
Chicago
recent success.
Fan. But a Chicago fan who, good for you, you got Bedard. Everything else might suck around
Everything
you.
Else, including the organization itself, has mm-hmm. been terrible.
Yep. So it's just it is like that painful thing of like, how are we going to go back? But that's why I think tonight is so important for the NHL. I think the game will match. I don't think it's going to be a blowout where it's like 6-1 Canada or United States. I don't think it's going to happen like that. But for the NHL, like, which one of these is going to be more important to the game as a whole? I think it really is up in the air. I think it could go either way, which is maybe the best part of it, is that it is.
There's a story either way.
Yeah, we're not sitting here going, all right, in all honesty, if you're the NHL, the Canadians need to win because of blank, 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 blank. And, you know, if the U.S. wins, it's the New England Patriots winning another Super Bowl. It's Tampa Bay winning another cup. It doesn't hit the same for either one of these teams.
I mean, with Canada, you could say that with Canada. If they win, it's, oh, you know, the usual suspect wins.
Sure, but I think with the U.S. market, losses pisses people off. And,
yes.
you'll have a bunch of new fans who are kind of like, oh, what's this?
They
okay, like I'll check this out.
And you can look at it and go, they were right there this time.
Yep. And then
this isn't like the World Cup of Hockey where they put Justin Abdelkader on the roster as a top nine forward for some reason.
Mm-hmm. But then all
still
of a sudden,
never going to get over that.
But then, you know, and what's going to be something that's talked about in the pregame, which is you're probably going to see this in a year for the Olympic gold. That's probably going to happen.
You better bet that they're probably going to be put in the same group.
I would. And I think you've got growth of some of these stars. The Tkachuks went from guys, you know, hockey fans knew, and some probably sports
hockey fans
knew,
and most are irritated with.
Sure.
To, well, depending on where you live right now, it is a love or hate.
Yeah.
Especially with the fact that, like,
Matthew played for Calgary and was very good there. But then he's out, Gaudreau's out in an offseason from hell. Mm-hmm. So I'd imagine Western Canada in particular may not have the fondest. Might not have the fondness of memories of Matthew Tkachuk anymore.
But now, I mean Bulldog.
Yeah, American fans, like, think about it. Anyone in the Atlantic Division probably has a similar mindset of, oh, you know, it'd be nice to have him, but man, watching him irritates me, and that's me.
I look to what Bulldog did a few days ago, which is after that game, I think it was on Monday. Do you love or hate the Tkachuks?
I love
them. And every call was, I love them.
But the one caller going, I don't know what it is, but it's Brady's face. The man's got a stock henchman face.
He does.
Not even stock villain, henchman.
It's very little brother energy. It is. But I've loved how it has helped the game grow. And we've only seen a week of it. We have not seen the full ramifications of it. I think that's why this game is so important tonight, is to see the full ramifications. Do the games on Saturday have a bigger ratings bump? Not massive, but is it like noticeable where it's like, oh, okay, some of you were watching clearly on Thursday and have continued to watch on Saturday and are maybe following the Florida Panthers more, the Ottawa Senators more.
And I think what was perfect about it was, just like how this tournament's an appetizer for the Olympics, Sweden-Finland was the perfect appetizer on Saturday for U.S.-Canada.
Mm-hmm.
It was a competitive back-and-forth affair that goes into overtime.
Yeah, none of these teams necessarily looked out of place, which I think was huge.
Like I said, there was only one period that happened, and that was Finland.
Mm-hmm. And it was massive that none of these teams have looked out of place to this point. But the two best are playing, which I think is the most important for sports often, is the best teams win or best teams play. That's something I've talked a lot about as a big college basketball fan. Sure, do I like a Florida Atlantic and, you know, whoever making a Final Four? Sure. But the average fan's like, I kind of want to see Duke versus North Carolina.
But usually with that tournament, it's enough because it's big enough of a field.
Right.
This is four teams.
Right. And so that's why that's, you know, to an earlier point, it's why also you didn't totally want to see USA Sweden if you were the NHL.
Yes.
And so with that, 803-0550, the number two call. We'll get to your calls after a quick timeout. Who do you think the league wants to see win tonight for the betterment of the game and really heading into the Olympics next year in Milan? Zach Jones and Derek Kramer, you're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR.
I mean, maybe their team doesn't like each other then if they don't have group chats, but, I think that's just a player, and enjoying this opportunity. So I think that our team does not care about anything that they say, and there's been a lot of chatter and talk from individuals, but we care about one thing in this room, and we have millions of people that are watching us and supporting us around this country, and we're very prideful in playing for them and the guys in the room. It's an opportunity of a lifetime for us.
Matthew Tkachuk of the Florida Panthers of the United States has not played necessarily a great tournament, or at least didn't play awesome against Canada, but has sort of become the headline guy due to, well, literally only falling behind his dad, Keith Tkachuk, and how fast he could fight somebody in an international game.
Yes.
And that is in response, that quote right there is in response to Canada's Brandon Hagel, who had this to say: I think we're out there playing for the flag, not the cameras. That's part of Canada and what we have in here. We don't need to intimidate or initiate anything. There we go. We don't have any group chats going on. We're going out there playing our game and then giving it everything and doing it for our country. We don't need to initiate anything. We're just going to play as hard as we can and do it for the flag on our chest.
And I know what he's trying to say there.
30, here we go.
He's and Hagel was the guy who fought with Tkachuk to open the sounding bell. Hagel wanted to just more or less, I think, make a snide comment.
Mm-hmm.
But what a point by Matthew Tkachuk. You must not have many friends in
Canada. You guys must not like each other that much.
I think we found out that Hagel's not part of the group chat, guys.
Yes. Hagel's the friend that's not in the group chat.
Oh, which is tough. That's a hard way to find out. That's a hard way to find out.
He goes into the locker room. So, yeah, we don't have any group chats, right, guys?
As McDavid's like looking over like, you don't have
Could you imagine chats. Having a group chat with Sidney Crosby?
No.
What's that like? Nathan MacKinnon. You guys better not be eating any pasta.
Oh, and McKinnon.
To be in a McKinnon group chat, you have to FaceTime him before every meal.
This reminds me of former Texas head coach Tom Herman. You had to do a pee test to test your hydration.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a whole thing. Nathan MacKinnon feels like that guy where it's like, everyone's like urination results came in. It's like, some of you guys are dehydrated and we're doing wind sprints. That's what we're doing today.
I will say.
He feels like that guy.
I will say, you know what? One of those guys that got into the first three fights in 9 seconds and everything like that, JT Miller. Don't end the tournament with less points than a pair of Buffalo Sabres. Come on.
Yeah, don't do that. Let's go to the phones here. 803-0550, the number to call on tonight's game, the Four Nations Final. Who do you think's going to win? Which team do you think the NHL actually wants to win? And plenty more on that. But we start today with RJ on the line. RJ, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, guys. Good. First off, I don't think the NHL cares who wins tonight. It's a win-win for them just because Canada and U.S. both made it. So I think either way, whatever team wins, I want the U.S. to win, obviously, but I don't think it makes a difference to them because the two biggest powerhouses are in the finals.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you is, do you guys think there's going to be more of those antics from the other game, or do you think this is just a straight-out, drop the puck, let's hard-hitting, get moving, and let the game flow? And lastly, I think the Sabres should just sit pat and do nothing this year because I don't think anything they do can help them anyways. I mean, you can't bring more people to the seats if you go get somebody because we're so far out of a playoff spot. We'd literally have to win almost all of our games. So that's how I feel about that.
RJ, appreciate the call there. When it comes to the Sabres, just to do that point first and get it out of the way, if there's a hockey trade to be made, like one that could benefit you through the future, like last year with Middlestat Byram, they could do that.
I'd be fine with that, but yeah. I think the point is right.
Buyer-sellers versions, you're absolutely right. But I wouldn't I expect nothing, but Kevin Adams did also mention that the types of trades that he's looking for right now are hockey trades.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a lot of sense, actually. If you could build within the short to long-term future with a deal or reconstruct a little bit of it, but the player coming in has term, I'd imagine that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
But not your standard buyer-seller. I agree with that.
Yeah, 100% agree with that.
Now to the good stuff.
To the good stuff. As I've mentioned, I do think there will be antics very early in this game. Mainly, I think it will be the Canadians trying to sort of respond to how the U.S. played the game on Saturday, which was they wanted to go out there and set a tone. I've mentioned I don't like performative acts. I don't really put the U.S.'s antics on Saturday into the same vein as like the Sabres against Nashville after the Tage Thompson hit where they're like, we've got to show everyone we're not soft. The U.S. felt more like, we're going to set a tone and kind of, you know, push the agenda against Team Canada. We are going to be the ones that set the pace of this game. That's how that felt. I imagine early on the Canadians will try to do the same to the United States or at least to even the playing field. After that, though, I think very early, it will just be a hard-hitting, skillful game, both teams just trying to get a win.
It's even more so that the game that the U.S. has been playing throughout this, despite, you know, all the skill at forward, they are a very defensively sound team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Canada needs to make sure to match that because, obviously, getting past Connor Halbach is a tough task nonetheless. But if you look at the two of the top three goalies in the entire tournament with save percentage, it is Ottinger and Halibut in there.
Yeah, and that's I think, really the big advantage for the United States. They've been actually dealing with injuries. Charlie McAvoy is going to miss tonight's game. It appears much more severe than originally thought, which was,
as a matter of fact,
he may play on Thursday. He's got an infection in his right shoulder. He's got what was called by the Boston Bruins significant AC joint injury. So,
yeah, the Bruins bass is not happy about that.
Yeah, they're not going to be happy. And then you're also seeing guys like Quinn Hughes is called up, but it's like, I'm not flying out unless I'm playing. And he's just getting over an injury, so I can understand that. Good news, though, for Team USA, Brady Tkachuk is on the ice for morning skate. He missed practice yesterday, and Chris Johnson obviously putting kind of the obvious there. Good sign he's ready for tonight's championship.
Which would mean probably no Tage Thompson for you Buffalo fans out there.
Or Rhett Pesce, if you're a Devils fan.
Yeah.
If you're listening to us as a Devils fan, I'm welcome. Hi. How are you? Do you miss Lindy? Probably not. So,
do you miss Lindy? Probably not.
But I think that is the United States' biggest advantage.
I do want to look at goaltending. One of the things I do want to look at throughout the afternoon, obviously, we'll keep talking about this as long as we want to, but players that have not put up much of a showing within this tournament or players that I should be watching that didn't really do much in the game on Saturday. Brad Marchand
for all the antics that happened, he was more trying to go with his skill-based game instead of trying to get in people's faces, trying to irritate them, draw a penalty. And I think that with how the Kachucks are trying to run around as per usual, you could do that. You could get in someone's face. You can get in their heads. Brad Marchand doing Brad Marchand things should be something they would want out of him today, just so that you can try to gain an extra power play.
Well, and that's going to be a thing that I think Team Canada is going to be desperate for because of the advantage in net for the United States. But then I'd also say the advantage of the skill they have, that could be sort of the difference is if they get multiple power plays, and I'm saying multiple, two or three total for the game, could be a massive boost for their abilities. McDavid's had a great tournament. I think he's got 4 points in three games. He's been everywhere. Crosby's had a good tournament. Nathan McKinnon's had a good tournament. Like everyone that they kind of wanted to have a good tournament is doing so. And now it's kind of for all the marbles.
I would say not quite everyone.
Not quite everybody.
Not quite everyone. You want to know why? Outside of scoring a goal in overtime against Sweden, Mitch Marner has been absent.
Yes. Yep.
Which...
Well, same to his Toronto.
Toronto fans will look at that and go, yeah, first time.
Yeah, same with, I think Austin Matthews has...
Austin Matthews has one assist.
One assist. I thought it was two. Never mind.
He has less goals than Henry Jokiharju and Rasmus Dahlin.
This is only for Yoki. it's only for Henry
Rasmus,
Jokiharju.
It's expected. Exactly. But still also give him his roses. I thought he played great throughout the tournament and was not used enough.
On the great Canadian players, I was thinking about this, and we'll throw it out here now. How big of a game is this for Connor McDavid? I don't think this is the Olympics, Olympic gold, what have you.
But it's his first time in international play, best on best.
Yes. And
Crosby has a golden goal.
Bingo. And he doesn't have a Stanley Cup. His career is sort of getting into the point of, like, okay, you've been here. Your stats are starting to compile now with the best of the best of the best, not in terms of pace, but in actuality, you are that guy. And you don't have the team hardware just yet. And then you lost to the United States on Saturday and have a chance to go 0-2 in a smaller international competition leading into the Milan Olympics. Maybe it doesn't matter too much for the United States media, but for Canadian media...
That like turns into something.
Yeah. You mentioned Crosby has the golden goal. He has the golden medal. Like he has
the moment.
He has the moment.
He has the moment.
That is equal to many of his Pittsburgh Penguin moments.
He has the moment that you play in a driveway in Canada.
Yeah.
Literally that.
I think if you're somebody like McDavid, who we mentioned, he had... I mean, that's why I like the first
game. And he had the surge of one of the best postseasons we've seen in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
But it ultimately just fell short. This is an opportunity to at least right the ship there a little bit for his legacy.
But he even had a moment on Saturday. After all the fighting kind of settled down, he has an absurd goal to put the Canadians up 1-0. And there was a feeling, I think, early right there that it's like, oh, all of that meant absolutely nothing. Canada's up 1-0.
No, I thought it was, oh, we're really off to the races. Yeah. We're about to see 4-3.
Like, here we go. But this might be a huge game for him. I hadn't really thought about, like, I like legacy talk, but also it can kind of get lost in the shuffle at times.
Yes,
it feels
a little
overdone.
Lost in sauce.
And it could, because it feels overdone a lot, that, like, every game has to mean something for your legacy. It doesn't. This may, though, for McDavid.
Correct.
Who has hit at every way that anyone wanted, except for the fact that Edmonton really hasn't put a great team around him. He had a great partner in Draisaitl.
Yep.
But their defense and or goaltending has always been an issue. He's made a cup final, but, I mean, that was one of the most tragic ends to a Stanley Cup final ever, was watching Edmonton just literally be out of gas.
Be out of gas after storming back down 3.
Yeah. And this might be his moment to kind of take it.
Opportunity for a moment for him.
Yeah. I'm rooting for the United States, but I don't want to sit here and say I don't like Connor McDavid, and I want his career to be, oh, he didn't get anything. Well, Wayne and Sid did. I want him to win something. I want him to have some hardware. I was rooting for Edmonton in that because I want him to get something. And this would be something. And it could be, you know, you could hold your head or you could hold it over the United States. And that's why, I agree with RJ and the caller that the NHL won regardless. U.S.-Canada was a hit on Saturday. It's going to be a hit again tonight and the game's going to keep growing. I think there's also something, though, for Canada to be able to give something to their best player.
Yes.
in how old is he now? 28? 29? I mean, he's now getting up there in age where we're getting towards the, hey, he's got to win something now because we're running out of time. I think
Connor McDavid is 28, yes.
I think it's a really, really fun storyline going tonight. The United States doesn't necessarily have any of those players.
Also because Eichel, of the fact Eichel that he was robbed of this.
Yes.
Him and Eichel both.
They've both been robbed
of this opportunity, and now it's here for both of them.
But you look at the top-tier American players, a lot of them have the thing they needed. Eichel has his cup, which you'd have said 5 years ago you'd have been stunned by. I know. I'm sorry. Sensitive topic.
Mm-hmm.
Kachuk went from a damn good player to, man, all right, everybody wants a Kachuk on their team. He's got a cup. He's had two straight Stanley Cup finals.
Yeah, there's – and ready? On the other side of it, he plays in a Canadian market.
Mm-hmm.
Auston Matthews has one assist in this tournament.
Yeah.
And he's the captain of this USA team.
I was going to get to Matthews. Like, he's not on the same vein as McDavid.
But he's in the same country where their market can be a little bit more scrutinized.
And he's got the stigma, too, of, man, you're wonderful. You might be the best goal scorer of your generation.
I wouldn't even say there's a different stigma between Matthews and McDavid at this point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It is it's drastically different because McDavid did go on a cup run.
Mm-hmm.
Matthews tends to disappear in the moments.
Yeah, the whole thing with them is great. You made it past the first round. And then you all stop playing good again. Again, the reason they make the playoffs every year with bad goaltending or bad defense or even just bad culture is the high-end talent's unbelievable.
Talent actually makes up for it.
But every year in the playoffs, that bad culture rears its ugly head and they disappear. I think it's big for both
of
those guys.
He's been nastier in the playoff series, but like nasty doesn't equal success. You gotta actually contribute. You actually got to have something measurable when you get there at that point. It's about production at that point. You have to. And in Toronto, it could be very much looked at as, oh, he shied away in the biggest game again.
Mm-hmm.
So he needs a big game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Marner and him both, especially with Marner coming up on a contract year.
Mm-hmm. Which I know some Sabres fans have been keeping an eye on that.
It's me. I'm Sabres fans. Give Mitch Marner what he wants.
803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, of course, talking the Four Nations Final. Coming up tonight at 8 p.m. on ESPN the rest of the way. You're listening to WGR.
Welcome back. Last segment here of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones. Josh is behind the board, hanging out with us, giving us all of the extras that we need and some that we don't.
Excuse me? What are you talking
about? Excuse me?
What do you mean? What do you not need from me?
I don't know. I'm just saying you do more than we ask of you.
But, oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What do you think? I'll take it. Never mind. I'll take it.
Yeah.
She's waiting for the insult, and he's like, wait a second. That's not bad.
I just said it in a way that would sound like an insult.
We did have a retirement today, by the way, in the NFL. Former Buffalo Bill John Feliciano did announce his retirement today. It was with the Bills from 2019 to 2021. Don't want to sound mean. It's good for the Bills. Seeing his name pop up, I realized how far this offensive line has come.
Yes.
I don't mean to sound rude or disrespectful. Again, he was a good player for the Bills. But seeing his name pop up as retirement, like former Bill, and I was like, they made an AFC championship with him.
They did.
As a starting guard. Incredible. Like now I look at the team and I'm like, Spencer Brown. He might be he should be an all-pro at right tackle at some point. Deion Dawkins, I think, will absolutely get one, mainly because the NFL loves him.
And yes, he's marketable and he's good.
Osiris Torrance, we've mentioned, is one of the few rookies they've brought in the first two rounds that has started right away and kept starting.
And as an immediate impact player.
Yep. Connor McGovern makes a transition from guard to center. He's a Pro Bowl alternate. I mean, they've got really, really good dudes on that offensive line now compared to what it was just a few years ago. And Dawkins was a part of a lot of that, don't get me wrong, but he was like the one cog that you trusted, him. And then you would get, oh, who's their center that I'm blanking on? He's in Jacksonville now. This is terrible by me.
Mitch Morse.
There we go. At one point, was the highest paid center in football, and I completely missed it.
Yeah. Mitch Morse was the highest paid center in football.
I kept thinking McGovern. I'm like, that's the current guy, Zach. What are we doing here?
Yes.
That's tough by me. That's tough.
Yeah.
But
know your fat boys.
I was going to say I'm not even riding that wagon this year. We're the beef wagon for defensive tackles.
yes. not an offensive lineman. Although the Bills will almost definitely draft an offensive lineman in like round 6 or 7 to put with Aaron Kromer.
Yeah.
That will 100% happen.
I agree with that. I think that's a great idea.
I can't wait, by the way.
Never have too many.
Also, don't want to forget David Edwards. I just didn't have any like super positive things to say about him, which is maybe mean by me, but.
But also, he was the one that had to, like, he was the new face of that entire group last year.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
This past year.
Yeah.
He was the new guy, and he held in throughout the entire season.
So it just seeing Feliciano's name come up, I was like, oh, wow, they have come a long way for the offense.
When I say new guy, by the way, it was new to the starting five.
But they are well on their way to having this offensive line for the next however many years, really, at this point. 803-0550, the number two call. We'll get back to the Four Nations final. Someone on ESPN today, we'll play that clip coming back here, mentioned something that I really agree with, and I kind of want to jump into that after a quick timeout. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When I say that no one's bigger than the game has also never been bigger than where it is today. And that's exactly the opportunity that these guys have, is to play for something that's bigger than themselves. Some of these guys have never even played in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but people are saying that this game is bigger than the Stanley Cup game last year and any Stanley Cup game that we're going to see this year. So it puts it into perspective of the opportunity that these guys have, and they're ready for the moment. The whole world will be watching tonight. They're going to leave it all on the ice. It's going to be a tremendous show. And I'm going to tell you this, buckle up, strap in, pack a lunch, dinner, breakfast for tomorrow morning, whatever you need to do to get ready for 8 o'clock tonight, because it's all going to boil over.
There is ESPN's PK Subban talking about tonight's game and really how big he thinks it is going to be. I agree wholeheartedly that this game will get more viewers than last year's Stanley Cup. I think absolutely more than this year's Stanley Cup, unless something from this game pushes the NHL, you know, teams, rivalries, what have you, into a bigger stratosphere. But I've mentioned that. I think this game could play into how the NHL season the rest of the way plays out. Looking to last year's Stanley Cup final, and specifically Game 7, it averaged, and this is from ESPN's press room, averaged 7.7 million viewers. Now, Derek, me and you were talking about this the last few breaks. That was historic circumstances. This is a team with the Edmonton Oilers and Connor McDavid trying to do something that had never happened in NHL history. It's the reverse sweep. Down 3-0, force a game 7. Can you win it for the cup? That got to that point. Now, I think it was the Stanley Cup final as a whole averaged 4.2 million viewers. So that's actually already lower than what Saturday's game was just in American viewers as a whole. And I think that's what this is saying too, is it's just for the Stanley Cup final. This is just American viewers. But if that's true 4.2 for last year's Stanley Cup final as a whole was lower than Saturday's first round preliminary matchup between U.S. and Canada, which was 4.4.
And like you said in the last hour, international rivalries will always bring people in no matter what. Mm-hmm. International competition as a whole, you mentioned it, how soccer signups for kids are always in World Cup year, or you see kids participating more in a certain Olympic event because it is on television on the Olympics. Because someone watches it, or like a kid watches it and goes, I want to do that. Like, that is something that happens. That is something that's real. International competition brings people to a television set. I was talking about how it's an entire vibe when I went to the Bill Stadium for a World Juniors game between these two between these two countries, featuring some of the players that are playing tonight. Actually, as a matter of fact, Brady Tkachuk was on that team. As a matter of fact,
yeah.
So there's something to that. If I wanted to actually look back for that World Juniors roster that played in the Bill Stadium, I think I'm gonna do that at the break. I'm gonna find out how many of the players playing tonight were playing in front of us here in Orchard Park, New York. But back to your point of how the viewership is already higher than last year's Stanley Cup final, it makes sense. Especially because of the fact that it is also still a one-off.
Yeah.
Could this help this year's numbers versus last year's for the final? Maybe. I think it's tough because of the fact that you had a historic collapse on the horizon for that Game 7.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there might be people that didn't watch hockey before that might start watching now because of what has happened.
Well, and to bring up last year's Cup Final, what if it's a rematch between Florida and Edmonton? With Connor McDavid and
Gary Bettman cries.
And that's the thing, and it's all of a sudden and back to our original point, you know, who does the NHL want to see win this? If all of a sudden it's Tkachuk gets the Stanley Cup, McDavid gets the Four Nations, now it's maybe and ultimately Tkachuk, I think, is just an assistant captain. He's not like the guy, but he's
kind of Sasha Barkov's their captain.
But he's kind of become the guy,
the face
for Florida.
He's the face.
Yeah. And so ultimately, you could maybe I always mention this with sports. Stories is what sells. A good story will get you to a television. Rivalries kind of being the main fixture of that. If it's a rematch between those two, effectively because of the faces, for not maybe the rubber match, but another matchup, is McDavid going to get another one over Tkachuk, another team award? And then knowing the Olympics comes up the next year, I mean, they could ride the coattails of this, and you will get more and more viewers into this because you're already seeing it. ESPN, we played that clip. PK was back on with Get Up. I mean, like, it was a different spot.
Yep.
So there is so much I think the NHL can grab from this, which is awesome. Because that's what gets people to televisions. It is the rivalries. It is the storylines. And if you have Tkachuk versus McDavid, with the potential of it being, hey, this is going to be another award that maybe Tkachuk gets over McDavid, or McDavid finally got one over him, you know, quote unquote finally. Because for hockey fans, this is not even really a
And it's not like
rivalry.
Matthew Tkachuk is in the same stratosphere as Connor McDavid in terms of talent.
No,
but in terms of impact,
And you don't have to sell it that way. You don't. Especially to an average fan. Why sell it any different other than like, hey, this is going to be a big rivalry. Here we go.
Yeah.
You don't have to sell it as correct, realistically. Tkachuk's still an amazing player. It's not like and I love Sam Bennett. It's not like Sam Bennett versus McDavid.
Right. Even though they were the same draft class.
Right. You know, Tkachuk is ultimately still a multiple 100-point scorer. He's still considered one of the best forwards in the league, if not overall players in the league.
And not to mention probably the top of your prototypical power forward.
Yeah. And if you're an American audience,
You like that guy.
Hell yeah, we beat the best Canadian player. Yeah, yeah. Our generation's Gretzky and Crosby. We beat the hell out of them. That's a selling point.
It is important to see what happens in this because of the fact that, like you said, the potential of the McDavid legacy, so to say, because this is his first opportunity with the best on best.
Mm-hmm.
And I would still like to think that it also has someone else in there. Nathan MacKinnon.
Mm.
MacKinnon McDavid, their introduction to best-on-best international play was with Team North America.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was their intro.
That's right, yep.
Along with Matthews. But they didn't get any further than that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the NHL is weird and silly and sometimes dumb.
Sometimes. You act like it isn't most of the time.
I'm trying to be nice here today, Zachary. Trying. Okay? I got to save all my hate for tonight.
There we go.
But, yeah, there's a lot of questions that can be had within the hockey verse of what does this mean for certain players? And I like this is just the hockey dork in me,
mm-hmm.
but like I love that Zach Werenski is having the tournament that he's having. He's tied for the lead with Crosby in points, and Zach Werenski has been the main reason that Columbus is threatening for a playoff spot after an offseason of downright tragedy.
Yep,
after another offseason of downright tragedy, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
They've had two of these.
Yes.
And Werenski is one of the main reasons that Columbus, of all teams, is in a threatening spot for a wild card. And it's because he is the superstar that he has been for Columbus. And he's carried that into the tournament. I love to see that. Eichel and Gensel have had quietly some very good tournament play so far as well.
I think Eichel has 4 points so far.
So does Gensel.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Gensel also had 2 goals in that Canada-U.S. game.
Yeah. Eichel also hasn't been able to play with Tkachuk or Matthew Tkachuk for a while because he actually just missed their last game.
And
so you never know how much.
They started the game and he was in the penalty box.
Yeah. So you never know actually how much better his tournament could be points-wise for both of them.
Yes. But there's a lot to this where, like, Matthew Boldy's having a nice little show up. Hey, I'm Matthew Boldy. What's up?
Mm-hmm.
He's got 3 points in this.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot that you can look into, and how deeply you want to look into it is all up to the person. But I'm looking at the guys that they haven't done enough. Like a Brad Marchand, like a Mitch Marner, mm-hmm. like an Austin Matthews, or even ready, like a JT Miller. The Rangers get that guy back, and he's kind of been quiet. And in this tournament, all he did was get punched in the face by Colton Parayko.
Yeah, it's not a great tournament.
No.
That's not a great tournament.
No. Like, there was something I had seen, I think it was Frank Saravalli saying, Elias Pettersson finished the tournament with 0 points. Yeah, JT Miller in as many games has 0 points. The only difference is that he got punched in the face a couple times.
Yeah, well, to the same point, though, like, that was frustrating to not see anything
pop
off.
Bro actually punched himself in the face.
Yeah. But it was a little frustrating to not see anything pop off between Miller and Pettersson. I kind of want to see something.
Well, Pettersson's not that guy.
No, I don't care. Selfishly, I want to see something. And then at the end, I'm like, all right, both of you have done nothing offensively. I didn't see any chirping, and yet I hear all about it, and whatever.
Yeah.
One of you can leave now.
One of you can leave now.
I still want Pettersson on the Sabres, but selfishly, I was a little annoyed. I think Austin Matthews,
You know what's cheaper to get? Mitchell Marner in free agency.
Yeah, but
cheaper in assets, not in money.
This conversation can be bookmarked, but like, Sabres culture isn't great. Like, they do need to change it. And Marner joining, it's like, okay, he's flashy, but like, it might be the same culture.
But he's good.
He's very, very good.
He's too good.
But I'm also like, I don't know. If like he's a guy that helps the Sabres. Talent wise.
I'm just sitting here like, yes,
bring him in.
Do something different.
Matthews, though, you bring up a really interesting point.
Because the fact that he plays in the Canadian market in hockey mecca in Toronto.
And we've brought up McDavid, though, already, not really having the team success, but he has all of the accolades.
But he does now have a bit of that team success.
He's had a bit of the team success. We've already mentioned the dragging that team to a cup final.
Matthews does have an individualistic success so far.
He's a goal scorer. I mean, that's who he is.
He is a Richard winner.
Yes.
Typically contending for it.
And that does have a bit of a connotation to it. It does have a connotation of, yeah, you scored a lot of goals. And maybe it's more the connotation of who's winning it. Matthew's winning it. has a lot of goals. We've already mentioned him and Marner, and really most of Toronto, the top-end talent, disappears in the playoffs. Matthews sort of being the main character to that. Having a 60-goal year, you've mentioned pretty much always in the running for the Rocket Richard. You know, what is
he's already won it three times.
Yeah, and so what is this? You know, we already mentioned what this game could mean for McDavid and really the NHL as a whole. It could mean a whole of a hell lot for them in sort of marketing this game. What if Matthews goes out there though tonight and has like two goals, and the Americans do win 3-2?
And like McDavid, this is the as I mentioned, this is the first best on best that you're playing for your country.
Yep,
the two of them together played for a combined version.
Mm-hmm.
It was super fun. I wish they would bring that ideal back. But last year, Austin Matthews had 69 goals.
It's like the 80s right there, baby.
That's more than nice. That is stupendous.
That is the 80s right there. We don't play goalie in this league.
Yeah. He's won a Hart Trophy. Like, this is this is another thing that he could add. And being in Toronto, that'd be a big deal. I'm excited for when some of these players come back to their respective teams based on the results.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me how funny it would be if U.S. wins and it's like, hey, congratulations to all these players. And Austin Matthews with Team USA, boo.
He's getting booed to oblivion. It does not help that you have no real team success with Toronto, and then the bit of team success you have is with the United States beating Canada.
Yep.
Booed to oblivion.
It'd be funny. It would be funny.
There's so many of these guys, though, that this could...
Like 2010, I will never forget that game in Pittsburgh. The Sabres are on the road in Pittsburgh. They're introducing the players that had played in the Olympics, and Ryan Miller gets the standing O in Pittsburgh. And the face of the franchise, who's won multiple cups with the Penguins, gets booed to oblivion because he scored the goal that won it for Canada.
He's a hero, but not tonight.
Not tonight. He's our guy, but tonight, nope, I don't like him.
Tonight he is a menace.
I don't like him strictly in this context. Once the game starts, I'll go back to loving him, but right now, no.
Yeah, you mentioned his nationality, and that's hurtful. But
ow, my pride.
But there's so many guys here, and to this point, we're mentioning this, but it's still the appetizer platter that we've mentioned. That it's a really good one.
Ready? Even Brad Marchand tonight in Boston is playing for Canada.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be another one of those fun moments of, like, bro's going to get booed, and he knows why.
That's all right.
But it's Brad Marchand, though.
It'll build up for the 26 Olympics and everything that'll mean. It will probably be these two teams again because you're now building this chemistry and these two will want this again. These two teams, I mean, will want this again. I'm also looking to see like who it gave you some more confidence going into the playoffs. That feeling of, you know, playing a meaningful tournament in the middle of the season,
especially,
who kind of kickstarts their season. Or even just gives them the faith of, I can do this.
Yes.
I can do this. Like Mitch Marner, you mentioned, has not had a great tournament. He does have an overtime goal, though. And that could mean something to someone's mentality. If Matthews goes out tonight, and like I mentioned, scores two to give the U.S. a 3-2 win.
Or even scores an important goal.
Yeah, an overtime winner. Same thing as Marner.
Not even
what
that.
Does that do for him?
Say he brings them to within one and they ultimately win.
Right.
Say like he's the catalyst of a comeback. Or
what does that do for someone's mentality?
Or he helps them buffer a lead to a two-goal lead late.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, context does matter. Like if he scores a goal in a blowout win, like 4-1, and he's the fourth goal, it's like, okay, cool. But the context matters here, and I think that there is a lot of opportunity for context to help some of these players with their legacy, especially because for a lot of them, internationally, that legacy is only just beginning now, this late in their careers.
Yeah, and that's maybe something
that I've
been
focusing on. That's the disgusting thing that I hope Gary Bettman never gets to live down.
That's something I think I've maybe lost a little bit too, but I've mentioned that I really don't have many thoughts on international hockey has become, I don't see
it's because it wasn't there.
Yeah.
They weren't there. The last two things that you remember are non-Olympic tournaments, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
World Cup of Hockey, NHL run, NHL sanctioned. Four Nations Cup, NHL run, NHL sanctioned. In between that, you've had a bunch of former pros for the Canadiens who go walking away with gold.
Yeah.
Because no one could stack up to that. And just a lot of who the heck cares on the American side of it because the NHL has not gone to the Olympics in the last two. And again, for Austin Matthews, he has yet to play for Olympic gold.
Mm-hmm.
Connor McDavid has yet to play for Olympic gold.
Man, 26 is going to be awesome. Going back to our first call today, this is the perfect appetizer
to what we will see next year.
Going back to our first caller today, DJ, he mentioned it too. Like, the NHL won already. They got the two best teams. They had a great game on Saturday, and now they're probably going to have a great game tonight. The NHL's already won because they can now milk this for all it's worth going into 26. You've already mentioned a lot of these guys just simply don't have any legacy with their national teams because it's been taken away from them, not due to their own ability, but to the league's incompetence at times, most of the time. And
definitely this time.
And now the league is seeing, and maybe this is all due to the fact, for many of us, we have not seen international hockey like this in a long time. Maybe that's why you're getting the ratings.
We literally haven't seen this since the World Cup of Hockey, not even Olympic.
Yeah, but I also think it is because I mentioned what Saturday's game was. I thought that was a love letter to both generations of hockey that you hear a lot about. The current generation of high skill, speed, go, 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 and the older generation of tough fights. Beat the hell out of somebody. I think it was a mixture of both, and I think that's why it has grabbed a lot of average people's attentions.
Saturday night was the ode to the power forward.
Yeah, and I think and I'm 26, but like that's a big reason why I liked it. It was this feeling of it's a mixture of both things that people love about hockey. No, it is not the game is grinding to a halt because we keep fighting and it's bench clearing and stuff like that. But it's also
Canada,
7-6. We don't play defense. It's all about skill, baby.
Canada, by the way, has 3 Olympic gold medalists on their roster for tonight. There are players that have done this.
Yeah, it's not everybody.
They have done this before, but there's still 3 of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's Crosby, Marchand, Doughty.
Oh, yeah.
So it's – and, like, you look at the U.S. roster, no one that was there – played for anything of a chance at Olympic gold.
No.
None of them. And again, the U.S. was needing to use kids over the past few years, including Buffalo Sabre Jordan Greenway.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's right. I forgot about that.
And former Sabre Brian Gionta having to play in those.
Don't stop. Now you've lost me. Now you've done it. You've lost me.
It's fun facts time.
It's fun facts time. You bring up Brian Gionta. That's not fun, Derek.
It's not fun because of Sabres.
It's just a fact. It's like me bringing up Crusade facts. None of them are fun. They just happened. Brian Gionta. That's a fun fact. No, it's not.
I think it's fun because you're just now collapsing in real time because of it.
Brian Gionta. We're still in the bad times, by the way, for the Sabres. That's just like a pinnacle point.
That's
for me.
Why it's fun. Ugh. You have to drag out the interesting points now.
There you are. You're throwing out another word, interesting. No, I would not put Brian Gionta with interesting facts. Would not do that. Jordan Greenway's at least like, oh, it's a fun fact. I like Greenway. He plays the right way. I kind of like him. It's cool. Brian Gionta. Oh, I hated that period of time.
We're still in that period of time.
Thanks for the reminder. They're last in the East.
You know, this is usually me.
I can't wait for Saturday.
This is usually me.
Are they playing the Rangers at home? Is it at home?
It is.
Oh, great. Thanks, Josh.
You're welcome.
Lie to me next time.
I think this is very interesting now.
Great.
We're getting a crash out.
Not that bad. It's not that bad. I'll watch Saturday, too. I'll watch Saturday. I'm going to be there. Tonight's game has got me like geared up for hockey. It's more just going to be the reminder. I'm going to turn on pregame.
You're gonna be reminded, oh, this is hell and we're in it.
I'm going to turn on pregame and it's like, well, the Sabres are in 10th in the East. And it's like, oh, hell. I forgot.
10th?
Here we go.
10th?
Oh.
You said 10th.
Did I?
Yes.
Last.
It's 16th.
The 10th in the Atlantic, I'm sorry. Or in the
East,
there we go. Great. Well, tonight's game can't happen slow enough, actually, because then it's just a cruel, cruel reminder.
You just want it to be timeless.
Yeah, because it's a cruel, cruel, cruel reminder.
You just want it to exist in a bubble. And you can just go back
into
the bubble.
Yeah, I just want time to stop. It's like, oh, yeah, we've been living this for 60 years. It's still great.
It's still awesome.
Vibes are fun. Don't start up again. Don't get me Saturday. Remember the Elias Pettersson rumors? Those were awesome. Those were a really good time. Kevin Weeks' tweet about Elmwood, that was awesome.
Teams are interested in Dylan Cousins.
It was Chippewa, by the way.
And then also, there you go, reminding me that nothing happened.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
No problem. Ugh. You're welcome.
Goodness. I don't want this tournament to end. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X-Point Show. This is WGR. Everyone, hour number two of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show rolls along here. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, Josh Schmidt. Today's show brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And of course, we have gotten connected to our fans, and that is brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We do also have some news I want to pass along here. This from last night, but officially, you know, made official by the team's Twitter account. UB Women's Basketball. We talked with head coach Becky Burke earlier this week. Well, after last night's win over Kent State, they have officially locked in one of their spots at the MAC tournament due to how many teams they have. We're not taking everybody. With their 21st win of the season, they have locked themselves into the tournament, which will begin later on in March. I believe the date was March 12th.
Yeah.
I think is what we had down. And they only trail Ball State, and they're tied with Toledo for second in the conference. Toledo also won last night against
Ball State. They got the win at home.
Mm-hmm.
Pride night was yesterday, I do believe. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. And, hey, you know what? I would love for them to keep things going.
Yep. They do get to play, I believe, Ball State one more time this year. No, yes, they do. Yes, they do. That'll be at Ball State Wednesday, March 5th. Could be a big game, especially with Toledo beating Ball State yesterday. Could be a big game for the Women's Bulls to potentially even take the number one seed in the MAC. We'll see how that
ends
up.
Please. Come on. Let's go. Yeah. Come on.
We'll see
let's
how that finishes out.
But talking with Coach Burke on Tuesday was a fantastic interview. She really, you could tell how much that she wants to put into the game with detail, everything like that. Mm-hmm. And I love to see it. I love to hear from her, and I would like to talk to her again as the tournament looms closer.
I'll say, I'd love to talk to her if it's like, hey, you guys are going to the NCAA tournament. What's going on? How are you?
What's up?
Yeah. And then we do also have some coordinator news as well, as the Eagles are losing their quarterbacks coach to the Saints, Doug Nussmeier. He is going to the Saints to join Kellen Moore as their offensive coordinator. Not too surprising.
I mean, usually
Kellen Moore was talking to a few Eagles guys because that's typically what happens.
You get some of the guys from your staff to go with you.
Yep.
That's kind of just how it goes.
Nobody's like the Lions, though, this year. They've lost, seven coaches?
Yeah.
That is a tough scene. I'm interested to see how they look this year, by the way. Just with the fact that Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn are gone, I wonder how that goes. We were talking a little bit about it yesterday off air. Ben Johnson may have looked around and saw Chicago and went, actually, it might be a really good job. Green Bay, if it weren't for the 7 seed, the somewhat newly created 7 seed, would have missed the playoffs the last 2 years.
Correct.
Minnesota, you kind of saw what Sam Darnold became. And also, you don't really know what J.J. McCarthy's going to be. So that team could all of a sudden kind of be a little bit of a yo-yo, up and down act. And then, you were just in Detroit and you left. Aaron Glenn left, and you both raided that coaching staff.
Pillaged it.
Are we 100% sure Detroit's going to win 14 games, 13 games again?
Probably not.
Probably not. And so Johnson's probably sitting there going, I really helped out Jared Goff a lot. Now I've got Caleb
Hopefully
Williams.
The new offensive coordinator there can do the same thing.
It's, all of a sudden, if you look at it from the connotation of who Ben Johnson is or who he could be, Chicago actually starts to look like a kind of attractive job.
Yeah.
Especially if you look at it with how Chicago coaches are, which was, a tire fire. I got this.
That said, I am not playing the you fell for it again award.
Are you not going to put future bets down for Chicago to win the NFC North?
No.
I guess I'll go in it alone.
Okay. Callie thought that they would be something halfway decent this year. He picked him to win the division.
I know I probably led him that way, too, because I think I said the
same thing. That's called the You Fell For It Again Award. I had to hear it about the Jets and all those people. They fell for it again. Bears, got to prove it to me.
See, I was going to say, with the Jets, I never once bought it.
Yeah.
I mean, the injury to Rodgers sort of helped that feeling, but I never bought it.
Even like with all of last offseason, it was just like a year ago today, basically, is where it all started. And it's like, okay, guys, enough.
Yeah. Yeah. It helped, though, that like Carolina was so bad. You nailed that trade. You're going to go get Caleb. The team maybe isn't awful.
And then they once again proved to be awful.
Yeah, they did. They did. They did.
They did. So again, no. You know who I'm looking at? I'm looking at Minnesota.
J.J. McCarthy, baby. Yep. Are you a McCarthy truther?
No, I am a they have a talented roster truther.
Yeah, well, that's less exciting than being a McCarthyite, so whatever.
A McCarthyite?
I'm a big J.J. McCarthy guy. I'm ready. I'm excited.
I can tell.
I like Sam Darnold. I mean, I've mentioned the 2018 draft. Like, I was a Darnold guy. Like, I won't hide from that. I liked Allen, but the Rose Bowl against Penn State kind of, you know, was a life-changing moment for me. But as somebody that really wanted McCarthy to succeed in Minnesota and kind of see like a Minnesota team who hasn't had like a franchise, like their guy that they drafted since Fran Tarkington, I kind of wanted it to work. And so those last two games by Darnold, I was like, sick. I don't have to worry about this offseason. I don't have to worry about are they going to pay him a lot of money and then maybe play JJ.
And now, like, especially with what we were talking about at the end of last show yesterday with Darnold, and you put Tennessee very much on that radar.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Lions now, I'm starting to think, like, do they try to get aggressive about trying to get a young quarterback that might, like, wait in the wings?
Oh, they go and draft somebody?
Yeah. Well, not this year, but probably next year.
Well, you know, it's not something that they've shied away from. They did that with Hendon Hooker. No, not a first-round pick, but, like, they've gone and, like, let's see what we got here. You know, he had a bad injury. He's now going to marinate in our system, the whole thing.
Ready?
You're wearing the hat.
I'm staring right at it.
Hook 'em horns, baby. Quinn Ewers?
Yeah.
I think he's a Ram. Until I see him be drafted by a different team, I think he's a Ram.
Yeah.
There are not many teams that make sense for Quinn Ewers.
There's not a lot, but I think sitting underneath either like a Stafford or a Goff.
Yeah, probably helps. I could see it. I mean,
because the Lions
far less than the Rams.
The Lions have a talented roster.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's not like they're made of a bunch of scrubs.
No.
Could they win 13, 14 games again? That's a tough marker to get to every year.
Especially with, as you mentioned, Minnesota.
Says the Bills fan who sees his team typically threaten to get to 13 wins every year.
Well, it helps when no one else shows up to the party. Of course your jokes are the funniest. No one else is here.
Miami shows up to the party every now and then.
Yeah, and then they bomb on stage.
Yeah, but even one of their wins is typically against the Bills. Typically. Not last year. Last year doesn't count.
Last year counts.
I'm saying like in the overall discussion.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Over the, like the past 5-6 years.
See, I'm absolutely counting last year. It's not Miami, my fault. Can't coach a backup quarterback.
Miami has shown up to the party a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what are you doing here? Oh, I was just leaving.
Last year they also figured out, hey, we should maybe run the ball against Buffalo.
Yeah.
That might help us.
Yeah, no, Miami at the parties, they've Irish goodbye'd.
They are.
Wasn't Miami just here?
They are in a tough spot.
Yeah, they said it was getting cold, so they left.
They left. They were hitting chilly. It was 75.
They said it was cold.
My heater's set to 90. It's going to be too hot in here in a minute. Well, it's too cold for them. Their defense is in a rough spot.
Bad spot.
I love Chop Robinson. It's about it.
Especially about because of the fact that like Vic Fangio went over to Philly and like, oh, hey, he's got a Super Bowl ring now. Chris Greer, I still don't know how Chris Greer survived his job.
Could you imagine if we were doing a show in Miami after that Super Bowl, seeing what Vic Fangio was able to do with that defense?
I would be saying like day number 624 of asking for Chris Greer to be let go.
But I'd also just be like, I want most of this defense released or figure out. Like
his inability to build a defense or an offensive line has put the Dolphins into this terrible situation. And that's why I'm not surprised that McDaniel survived. But if Chris Greer manages to still have his job over McDaniel, I'm going to be stunned.
He's not been good.
He's like, what do you have on the owner at that point?
He has simply not been good.
He's not been good. Never really has been.
Like, yeah, you put together a bunch of speed, but then...
Well, but what we find out very quickly, it's a really poorly constructed roster to win in the NFL against any team worth its salt.
You dip in late November and are never the same thing that you were to start a year. Every time. Whether they make the playoffs or not, every time. It's a dip. I will still thank the Miami Dolphins for changing the course of history, though. For beating the New England Patriots and kicking them out of a first-round bye.
Yeah, yeah,
that changed the course of history.
That is a good thing that they did.
It is a good thing they did, but then the successor happened right after that.
They are in one of the worst spots, though, in the NFL. It's purgatory.
Yeah.
Your quarterback is technically good enough. Technically.
Yeah, I asked on Monday with Joe, Joe Cali, I had asked, who's the closest threat to the Bills right now? And Miami's in tire spinning. They're stuck in neutral, in the mud, that they drove into themselves.
But if we're going like just this year, it probably is still the Dolphins. If this year going into next, if that's the biggest threat,
then that's a hilariously bad group.
Yeah.
Like you said,
yeah.
Nobody's at the party. Your jokes are hitting the hardest.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, and this is not like a surprising thing. This happens in the NFL all the time. But it is nice as a Bills fan seeing the rest of the division not really be able to figure it out. I think New England has hired the right guy, and I think they have the quarterback.
Yeah.
But have you seen the rest of their draft this year? We're all complaining about guys not hitting. They had multiple second, third round guys in their rookie years be like, Javon Baker's literally not playing. Jalen Pohl can't get opening, drops everything. Those are guys I liked, by the way,
on
as well.
A team with terrible wide receiver depth, and they couldn't get the opportunity.
And they couldn't do anything. I mean, it's miss after miss after miss, but Drake May hit, so it's somewhat considered a success. And Elliott Wolf doesn't really seem to be the best GM for them. So let's say he goes out there and spends a ton of money in free agency, which you're typically supposed to not do. You're supposed to build through the draft and fit in a few holes here and there with free agent pieces.
That's correct.
But they've got a ton of cap. Let's say they burn it all because, well, we got Drake May, we got to go. And it misses, and they don't have a ton of talent, and all of a sudden all that cap space is gone. They got to hit a lot right to be able to match what the Bills are with Josh Allen and Sean McDermott at the helm. They're going to have to do a lot right because the Bills in a rebuild year were the second seed made the AFC Championship game.
It wasn't a rebuild year. Like people always use that term and it's not correct. No, it was a retool. It was a shuffle on the fly. It was, yeah, you lost some of your talent, but there's still pieces here that should tell you you're a playoff contender. It was not a rebuild. Anyone that said that.
And that's fair. That's fair.
Is like, well, they were already wrong to start with.
It's a retool. It was a step into the next era of Josh Allen, Buffalo Bills. You know, they had to figure it out kind of on the fly. But even then, they couldn't pass the ball at points in the beginning of the season. They traded for Amari Cooper, and the division's over with. The division is over.
Just to get back to the topic that we've been talking about all day, by the way, Mike Sullivan, the U.S. head coach, says everyone except for McAvoy available for U.S. in tonight's championship game. The lineup will be game time decision, though, so that would mean the players that just flew in Slavin and Pesci and Thompson, they will not draw into the lineup because you need an injury in order to do that.
And the disrespect towards Tabe Johnson continues.
He should have always been on the roster.
They didn't Tanya Harding somebody. That's ridiculous.
The fact that both Chris Kreider and Vincent Trocheck made that roster was baffling enough to me.
I still think, but looking at Thompson's game, I do wonder if they were just sitting there going, he's going to be with guys that we're not going to get the most out of Thompson. He's not necessarily the biggest two-way player you're going to want to have.
That is true.
And looking at how the U.S. plays.
But considering how he penalty kills, though.
Fair.
It's an interesting weapon to have.
It absolutely interesting weapon to have, but maybe not to he needs to be on this roster kind of deal.
Right.
Even though, yeah, he's a wonderful goal scorer. We're finding out last year was an anomaly. He is truly just great at this. But I think his maybe overall game does not fit what the U.S. wants to do. Even though I think how they pitched it, though, was much more we want to go like younger. And Thompson sort of does.
TJ is younger.
Yeah, Thompson does fit into that mold. So I think it's more how they play. But regardless, Thompson, it was fun. It was fun while it lasted, seeing that he got invited. And was I think Emily Kaplan had mentioned that he was probably going to fly to
Boston.
He's
flying in. Those two players, they flew in.
Yeah.
And Quinn Hughes did not. Hughes did not because he knew there was not going to be enough of an injury concern to be in for this.
Mm-hmm.
So Quinn Hughes did not.
803-0550, the number two call. We're going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show, get you ready for Sabres Live coming up next right here on WGR. I just wanted the song to start. I really did. I really did. I looked right over at Josh and I'm like, look at you. Parting the USA. Oh, that's good. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, Josh Schmidt hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Just a few more minutes here before we get you over to Sabres Live. Last thoughts here on this game and, you know, what we expect. Joshua tweets in, I want some big hits like Brian Campbell laying out Flyers players years ago and USA to crush Canada. I don't know if we're going to get a Brian Campbell hit. I have mentioned I think we will get a fight early or at least a moment early. I don't necessarily know if we're going to get anything to those ends. I have put a parlay together thanks to the morning show. I went along with them. I did not do three. I did four. But I went along with them. I decided to put a parlay together. I hedged due to the numbers. I picked Canada to win.
So,
because of the numbers, I want. Oh, wow. Look at you.
You turned the. No mic privileges for you. Yeah, that was. That's interesting. Is he back?
Unfortunately.
I went to the numbers.
Okay, yeah, no, that was the rest of it, though,
lie.
Right?
You can have 1,400
numbers don't lie,
swing
you traitor.
Were you at least done?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay. Remember what I said earlier? I was going to look up the 2018 World Junior Championship rosters and find out how many of these players are on each of their respective rosters this year.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers are going to surprise you.
Here we go.
So I want you to guess how many Team USA players are on the roster from 2018 to tonight's game in the Four Nations Faceoff.
Three.
Close. Four. One of which will have not seen the ice for the entire tournament in Jeremy Swayman.
Okay, well, he doesn't count then.
So three is kind of there. But it is
how it works.
Ottinger played against Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
Brady Tkachuk and Adam Fox.
Matthew wasn't there?
Matthew was old enough that he was already out.
Never mind, that's right, okay.
Some of your other notable names from that World Junior team, like Casey Mittelstadt, of course, Kiefer Bellows, Kyler Yamamoto. Haven't had the careers that they would have quite liked. Quinn Hughes probably would have been on the roster if not dealing with injury.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Canada. Name the number of Canadians from this roster in 2018, the World Juniors, that are on this team tonight.
Okay, so just the World Juniors team. So I was, okay.
From 2018.
I'm going to go with more. I'll say seven.
One.
Oh, wow. Who is it?
Cal Makar.
Oh. Yeah, I guess 2018 isn't as long ago as I maybe was thinking.
Well, also, it tells you that prospects don't mean diddly all in the end game.
No, they don't.
Because, yeah, this is a team that really, it did not give you everything that it should have. Robert Thomas, Jordan Kyrou, those are players that, you know, they're interesting. They could end up on future rosters.
Mm-hmm.
Drake Batherson as well.
Oh, yeah, yep.
But outside of that, man, it doesn't help that there was a certain scandal that took players that had decent prospects. But, you know, don't be a terrible person. By the way, just so that Josh can shut my mic off to end the show, I am also picking Canada.
I did it for money purposes. I actually think the United States will win.
Not.
That's going to do it for me and Derek. Coming up next, right here after a quick timeout, Sabres Live as we get you ready for tonight's matchup between the United States and Canada. The Four Nations Final at 8 o'clock on ESPN. Have a great rest of your day, everyone. This is WGR.